are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci with the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. Let's do this thing. Another program, another full house this afternoon. Mark Lawrence joins us as he does every Wednesday. I got to be honest with you. I really wouldn't know what day it is ever. We do shows 7 days a week. But I know it's Wednesday because it's Mark Lawrence. And I always enjoy talking football and baseball with Mark Lawrence. Next week, we'll start talking basketball with Mark. He's already started his NBA previews. But how can we not break down baseball, man? We got a baseball game in a couple hours' time. We got a pitching change. We have a lot of drama around the Washington Nationals. We have a lot of line movement. The game was taken off the board. It's been reposted. So Mark Lawrence will join us. Mark lives in Florida now, but he's actually originally from Cleveland. And he's an old-school Indians fan, man. You know, it's amazing, you know, the big sporting events in Cleveland sports history that Mark's actually been to. So you know who he's pulling for this evening. Yet I don't trust Corey Kluber tonight, guys. I just don't. But the Cleveland Indians, these guys don't lose 3 games in a row, like, ever. Last time they lost 3 games in a row was July, all right? Like June going into July type of stuff. They don't lose often. So we're going to break all the baseball let down. Mark Lawrence is going to talk football with Mark Lawrence. Of course, we're going to talk NFL football. How the hell do we not talk NFL football on a show? We're talking NFL football. Joe Pisapia is going to step up and in the Black Book. We're going to dive into the Black Book with Joe Pisapia. We'll talk some NFL football from a fantasy perspective. We're talking NHL hockey. George Kurtz is going to step up and join us. Roto expert George Kurtz. It's been a fun start to the National Hockey League season. And I say fun, I don't know, I really haven't really watched too much of it. But it's fun when I give you 5 picks like I did last night and 4 of them won. Man, we've been smashing the underdogs. The St. Louis Blues, come on, man. The Blues were plus money last night. The Rangers are fade material, all right? The Rangers are fade material. Montreal Canadiens, fade material. Meanwhile, Vegas, you ride the hot hand right now, evidently. What a job by the Vegas Golden Knights last night. A magnificent, beautiful tribute before the hockey game. They absolutely explode. They beat the crap out of Phoenix, Arizona. I don't know. Whatever they're called. You know what they should be called? The Quebec Coyotes. But I digress. Nordiques, but you know where I'm going with that. Anyway, how many arenas do they have out there anyways now? You got 3 hockey arenas now? Yeah. You know, in Arizona, they got like 13 arenas and 13 fans. But nevertheless, Vegas looks like they're going to have some fans. Any team's going to have fans, man, well, when you're winning games every night. It's still early, obviously, but the fact of the matter is the Vegas Golden Knights are the first expansion team ever to win their first 3 games. So a bravo, job well done in a city of Vegas that obviously deserves a little bit of goodwill right now. So, yeah, we got a lot of stuff to get to. All right, countdown is on, man. First pitch. So yesterday, the Cubs and the Nationals game was delayed. And the first thing I thought was, oh, wow. Ooh, big, big advantage for Washington right now. I was like, you know, Washington, the Washington Nationals are a lot like the Washington Capitals, right? They finish in first place every year, but they never win. So, you know, I almost think the Nationals are somewhat cursed. And I'm an Expos guy. But I don't hate the Nationals because of the Expos. I used to have some ill will against them. It's hard not to. It's like, how do you not dislike the dude that marries your ex-girlfriend or wife, right? Oh, yeah, I love him. Great guy. But, you know, after the years pass and you move on with your life, whatever. The Expos and the Nationals, they're not the same team. It's not the same franchise. So I don't really, you know, I'm not going any ill will there. But the fact is, they're cursed. They don't win in the playoffs. They're always injured. Something always happens. And I'm thinking, man, you guys really caught a break. Because you had Tanner Roark ready to step up and in on the hill. Now you can reshuffle. You can go with Gonzalez. You can go with Strasburg. Hell, even Scherzer said I can give you a couple of innings if you need it. But Dusty Baker, for some reason or another last night, said, no. We're going to go with Tanner Roark still. Now, number one, Dusty Baker's going to get ripped no matter what he does. People just criticize Dusty all the time. Dusty's a good manager. But, you know, number one, Dusty shouldn't have said anything. Just because the media asks you something, you don't have to answer them. Well, who's going to start tomorrow? I don't know. Find out tomorrow. Yeah, what time's first pitch? Well, you'll find out tomorrow then. It's not your obligation to share it with the media. All right? So he goes, no, we're going to stick with Tanner. And then it's press, well, what about Strasburg? Then he drops it, well, Strasburg's not feeling well. You know, and you know, there were little leaks and murmurs that, you know, Strasburg told them, I can't go, I'm not feeling well. Now, we don't know if this is true, but either way, it's out here now, all right? It's out there. And what the hell are you going to do if you're Steven Strasburg now? Everybody, every jackass out there, every host, TV host, and podcast, I discussed the Strasburg situation last night for like an hour. Everyone's calling him soft, all right? You know, look at Twitter. You know, people are like, what the hell? You know, I remember in my day, man, Jack Morris, this guy could give you 10 innings. High-stress baseball. Oral Hershiser. Pedro Martinez. Madison Bumgarner. These guys are playoff heroes. Why are they playoff heroes? Because if you're a real ace, you demand a ball. But we live in a wussified society right now with a bunch of punk-ass kids walking around in skinny jeans. So, of course, you know, now, oh, guy went 5 innings. What a heroic performance. Heroic performance. Suck it up, Buttercup. Oh, I don't feel well. I haven't felt well in 13 years. I don't feel well. What the hell are we paying you for? You know, you're going to put, you know, it's amazing to me, man. You know, today's society, you know, we can talk about the societal woes of the softness, but it's arrived to the sports world right now. You know, it really has. You know, this is why we have the prima donnas that we have right now. But anyway, so now Strasburg's going to be out there. General manager Mike Rizzo's an idiot of the Washington Nationals. This guy's holding press conferences, doing radio interviews, talking about the pitching stuff. Why? Why? Why are you talking about this? Why? You don't think that now the players are talking about this? Going, what the hell's going on with these guys? You either stick with Tanner, you go with Strasburg, make up your damn mind, and stop deliberating this in freaking public. And if you don't think, oh, they're professional athletes, this stuff doesn't matter, as if. You ever met a professional athlete? You ever actually been in a Major League Baseball clubhouse? We're dealing with, you know, man-childs, all right? Man-childs. They all criticize each other. They criticize the manager. They criticize everything all the damn time, all right? This is an unneeded distraction. But I'll tell you what. When it's all said and done, it doesn't matter. Cubs win. Cubs win. Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. We are live. I am Gabriel Morenz here. We're going to stack the house today. George Kurtz, Roto Expert, is going to join us. Fantasy Sports Network's very own. Joe Pisapia, author of The Black Book. It's like a New York Times bestseller or something like that, I believe it. I'm going to talk to Joe a little bit. I was watching the Fantasy Sports Network the other night, and I saw a feature on they were doing some fencing. They went to New York, and they were like a fencing studio, and there's Joe Pisapia. So, you know what, if you trash talk Joe Pisapia and his fantasy picks, man, the guy can jab you with, what do they call it in fencing? Is it a lance? Sword? An epee. Epee. I knew a dude named Epee when I lived in Hollywood. All right, so, yeah, we got to get like a symbol here going or something like that. Yeah, I didn't know what it was. I like fencing. I didn't know what it was called. All right, so good stuff. Yeah, Joe Pisapia's into this stuff. I look forward. Joe's a smart guy. George Kurtz, a smart guy. But nobody's smarter than Mark Lawrence. Mark Lawrence, playbook.com, joins us. What's going on, Mark?
Doing just terrific, Gabe. How you doing? Sounds like you're getting ready to bet on a fencing match.
Yeah, fencing. Did you know what you called it? Like, if someone asked you, like, what is the sword thing? Like, did you know?
No clue.
You know... Come on, Mark, you don't have any data, nothing in a database about the fencing with the Olympics?
No fencing database, sorry.
no fencing database. So I know you got a big baseball database. And I talked about this off the top of the program. What a circus with the Washington Nationals that they turn who's going to start the game into such drama. I really thought they caught a break last night with the rainout. I'm like, all right, now you don't have to start Tanner Roark. You can go with Steven Strasburg. You know what's talking about Gio Gonzalez. Scherzer even told him, listen, I can give you a couple innings if you need tomorrow. And for some reason, I don't know why, and I like Dusty Baker. I think he gets unfairly criticized. No matter what he does, he's going to get blamed. But I don't understand why when he was asked after, you don't have to answer, Dusty. It's not your obligation to tell everybody. You know, like, so they asked him, he goes, no, we're going to stick with Tanner tomorrow. And then everyone asks, so, well, why not Strasburg? Well, because, you know, and then he dodges around. Well, he told me he wasn't feeling well. So it's like, you just threw the, you know, you just threw him under the bus. And then it starts, it blows up. Oh, Strasburg's soft. It's ridiculous. He's copping out. He doesn't want the ball. And now here we find out this morning they changed their mind and Strasburg gets the ball. Unneeded distractions to me.
Unneeded for the Nats for sure. But you know something, if I'm Dusty Baker, I'd much rather have that ball in Strasburg's hands today, especially with their back against the wall. This guy's smoking, as you know, Gabe. He's won 7 of his last 8 starts with a 0.67 ERA. He's the guy you want on the hill here today, regardless of the distractions.
No, I agree. And, you know, I can't disagree with that. So the number came down. It was minus 160 before. I'm seeing some minus 115s out there right now, minus 120s in that area. You know, this is all fresh, guys. You know, some books just starting to put the numbers back up right now. I got to be honest with you. And, you know, we don't know what we're going to get from Jake Arrieta. The guy's been pitched since August of 26. Strasburg's in fine form, as you stated. But to me, you know, it's hard for me to go against the Cubs on their home field in this spot with the Nationals' postseason history being what it is.
Well, I can understand that, being the defending national champions that they are. But what you've got here, Gabe, is a matchup of an ace, a staff ace, arguable ace. Scherzer, you can make the other case as well, against a non-ace. And you mentioned Arrieta hasn't started in 14 days. And you go back and you look at Strasburg, his last 29 games on the road, the Nats have won 22 of those games. So he knows how to win games away from home. He's also dominated the NL Central this year. He's won 5 of his 6 starts.
All right, Mark. So it sounds like you're going to take a shot with the underdog here.
With the dog, Strasburg, I have to do it, especially with Arrieta in rocky form.
All right, so speaking of the dog, I want to take the Yankees here. I really do. I want to take the Yankees here, and I've decided to take the Yankees in the first 5 innings. Now, I read the Coffee Club, and Mark's newsletter is the best in the business, playbook.com, but you also get the Coffee Club every morning in your inbox. You're going to have some tidbits, some information, some links to some great stats, etc. And I saw you talking about Corey Kluber and his stats and what he's done in October. Reggie Jackson's Mr. October, but Kluber's pretty good. 5-1 in October. He's 6-2 in his career at home against the Bronx Bombers. How about this? The Indians, they haven't lost 3 in a row. It's actually since July 30th. So it was July going into August. They don't lose 3 ball games in a row ever, basically. You know, but I don't fully trust Kluber tonight for some reason. Listen, he got rocked up in game 2, as we saw. And in a similar situation, a lot of eyebrows were raised that he didn't start in game 1. I don't know. I think the number's a little high here, but you know, like I said, Cleveland just don't lose 3 games in a row very often. But this number's too high for me. I got to take the dog.
Well, the number is rich, and it probably would point you to the dog because of the value in the game. The question is, do you want to have to beat Corey Kluber at home in this decisive game? But the truth is here, this big monkey is on the Indians' back. Caught this on ESPN the other night watching. The Tribe is just 3-16 in the last 19 game-deciding games.
Ooh.
That decide a series.
Interesting.
That's not since 1999, 3-16, not a good number for the Indians here tonight. So we'll find out whether Kluber is indeed a legitimate Cy Young winner candidate this year.
And I'll tell you what, that's interesting that you bring that up, actually, because we talk about the Nationals' postseason failures in the past, and this stuff is real. You know, if it happens, it gets in everyone's minds. I wouldn't say so much the players' minds that are on the field. I think they forget about this stuff, but the atmosphere in the stadium. And, you know, especially Cleveland, oh boy, here we go again, an early Aaron Judge home run. Here we go again. It's falling apart. We're Cleveland. We haven't won since 1948. You're right. This stuff is big. It hovers over the stadiums. It really does.
Well, they were 3-15 until they met the Cubs last year in Game 7 in Cleveland. So, you know, that's the reason that number's so dismal as it is right now. But, you know, I agree with you with Sabathia. He's probably been their best, most consistent arm the second half of the baseball season. He's a former Indian. He knows the park real well. But I think when push comes to shove, I'm going to back the Tribe here tonight. I won't lay the wood because of the price. But I'm with you. If I had to get in this game, I'd probably get into a run-and-a-half situation with Cleveland.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to take a look at the first 5 here. I think they can hang around. Obviously, the bullpen, Cleveland, I don't want to mess with that bullpen. And it wouldn't surprise me if the Yankees got off to a quick lead. Remember with the Minnesota Twins, actually, against the Yankees in that game. You know, I played them in the first 5, and I thought I was a genius. They hit, you know, three runs in the first inning. I'm like, oh, I don't even have to worry. I just got the first 5 innings. No, I think they were down 6-3 by the time I got to the fifth. So, you know, baseball can change. The one thing with the Yankees is, though, Yankees are playing with house money 100% right now. They weren't even expected to make the playoffs. Cashman, these guys, speaking of Cashman, they got a lot of cash. They've been waiting for next year, this big free agent feeding frenzy when everybody's available. And they were like, all right, let's just groom these young guys and we'll sort of build up. And, you know, because we've always been a free agent, you know, big name team. And their process was accelerated by Sanchez and Judge, how good these young kids are. But at the same point in time, you know, they're playing with house money right now. If they lose tonight, it's not like they're getting ripped by Yankee Nation.
That's true. In fact, if you've been back at the Yankees, you have every right to be on them again here tonight. I think a big factor in this game could be the return of Juan Encarnacion for the Indians here tonight. If he's in that lineup, it can make him a little bit more potent. And also, I don't know if you caught the comment on Fox Sports after the game, but they were alluding to the fact that the Yankees had the best bullpen in baseball. That's not true. It's the Cleveland Indians who own the best bullpen in baseball. And if they need to, they'll use them tonight if they get at least 6 or 7 innings out of Kluber.
I wonder about Edwin's health, though. Even though he's going to be playing, what's he going to be able to bring to the table? How mobile is he going to be? Is he going to be in form at the plate, etc.? But it can't hurt to have Edwin back. And I don't know if he is in yet. Maybe someone in the booth can confirm that for us.
Edwin's a lot better player than Juan, who I just mentioned, is Juan Encarnacion.
Yeah.
Yes, for sure.
Well, you know, yeah, I remember Juan.
Yes, right. Yeah. Juan was there also.
Yeah, I remember Juan. Remember Juan Samuel, too. Remember Juan Samuel. He was a Philadelphia Philly, LA Dodgers. Yeah, and he was a surly dude. he was a surly guy. All right, so South Alabama, let's shift gears, talk some college football. Nice to have some Wednesday games back on the board for us here. South Alabama and Troy, numbers been bouncing around a little bit, but I'm seeing 16s. Troy's been a real good football team. They lost that opener to Boise State, but they rattled off 4 consecutive wins since then. Doing it with their defense, Mark.
Their defense, and Gabe, I don't think people realize this, they're number one in the country in red zone defense is Troy this year, and the defense overall has been just a class A defense. That's the reason that they're tied with 4 other teams with no losses in the Sun Belt Conference. They're in the mix to win the Sun Belt race.
Some good teams in the Sun Belt this year, actually, man. There is. I think we could say it's past the MAC. At least I would say so. When you look at the top tier of these teams, you know, the Troys, the Arkansas States of the world, in which, yeah, they compete with big-time programs and they rack up the wins in conference play. So you look at the defense, and they've been an under machine. We just had up on the screen, I believe, 10-1-1 to the under in Troy's last 12 football games. And that's considering they played some Power 5 schools in these games as well. And they're still going. They're still, like, you know, they shut down. You know, Boys not a great offense, but what did Boys score, 24? You know, they held LSU to 21. It's pretty impressive for a Sun Belt team to be holding these power teams to, you know, 3 touchdowns, et cetera.
Well, the question is whether they come up a little bit flat here after knocking off LSU. I went to my database and looked at the last time they won a non-conference game as a double-digit dog. It was Oklahoma State 10 years ago, and they come back and won and covered the following game. They've got a week of rest in between here, but I like this Troy team. We talked about them in the Playbook Preview Guide magazine as being a real sleeper team this year.
Yep.
I think they're going to end up winning the Sun Belt Conference.
Yeah, you know, they're a dangerous team, and you're right. You did talk about this team. You know, South Alabama comes in. They're 1-4. This isn't the best Jags football team. They're 4-1 to the under as well. That's why we have a lower total for a college spot here at 49.5 or so. I'm going to pass on the total if I had to. I would lead with the under here. You brought it up too. If this game was like 5 days later, 6 days later, right after the LSU game, these kids have already had the party on campus. They've already been told by everybody how great they are. It's back to work now. It's been 11 days. I think that really helps soften the letdown angle if you're Troy.
No question about it, Gabe. I think the coach couldn't have ordered up anything more than a week of rest after that big, big football victory.
Yeah, look, they're Saturday. They're in Alabama. They're in LSU. It's not they're not a pro team staying at a 5-star hotel after the game. You know what I mean? Like they're on the bus right back. So in other words, they partied Saturday night, you know, / Sunday. You know, back, you know, hey, let's have some fun. Like I said, you know, everyone pats them on the back for a couple of days, but that's over right now. I'll lay the 16 points.
I would do it too, Gabe, but it's the only side of the game I would look at. As you said, the Jaguars are not up to where they were last year, and this is a Troy football team that's really in the mix for the Sun Belt lead. They're not going to mess around here tonight.
You know, Mark, it's funny. I remember your presentation at the IFBC, and you said one of the reasons why you do what you do is your passion for numbers. You know, when you were a kid, you said you love math, you love right. You love football, and you love gambling, right? So, you know, the correlation of everything came together. And, you know, and like you said, too, to do this stuff, you need sort of have that crazy-ass memory. You know what I mean? You need to remember every little thing and conversations and everything. And I remember, and I got a great memory for this stuff, too. I got a great memory for everything except people I owe money to. That's like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that one. Yeah.
And they don't forget you, believe me.
No, I know. I remember my father used to tell me that. He's like, I don't know why you're so bad in math in class. He goes, you could tell me the Los Angeles Dodgers every number about this team. Like when I was 8 years old. He goes, I don't forget that. But I don't even need to write it down. But I remember you said the last 14 times that a team lost the Super Bowl and didn't make the playoffs the following year, they made the playoffs every time after that, in the second year after. And I made a mental note to myself about that, which of course leads us into the team that's playing on Thursday night, the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, and aren't they playing like a team destined to make it back to the playoffs again this year? They've really, really turned things around, and they've done it, Gabe, largely with their defense. They've held three teams to season low yards on defense. That's the reason the Carolina Panthers are back in the race.
Cam Newton getting healthy as well makes a big difference. You know, I watched that. I'm a Buffalo Bill fan. I watched the Bills-Panthers game in Week 2 in its entirety, every play. And, you know, it was 9-3. Carolina should have won 16-3, even 22-3 or something like that. But Cam Newton was off. Give credit to the Bills defense for terrorizing him. But every time he got hit, man, there were a couple of times I thought he was done. Like, once he was lying face first, Mark, his shoulder. His shoulder was, like, underneath him. I don't know if you remember the image, but I was like, I think he's dead. Like, I was like, man, Cam Newton's done. I'm like, this poor guy, like, he's in a lot of trouble. And he was getting killed. He was getting up. He was hobbling back to the bench. And then you see him 2 weeks ago against the Patriots. He's running people over.
And he's Superman, Gabe. He's Superman.
He really is. And then last week in Detroit, he looked like Superman again. He looked taller, bigger, stronger. And he just sort of had that I'm Cam Newton, you're not attitude again. And when he has that and he's playing like this, they're unstoppable.
Yeah, even if every wide receiver doesn't know its route, he's still the best there is when he's on the top of his game. And as you mentioned, all he's missing right now is the cape, because he's playing at that level again right now. They're going to be a real, real tough team come playoff time.
Listen, Philadelphia, yeah, Carson Wentz, man, bravo. This guy playing some great football. And, you know, credit to Jim Schwartz, the defense. I tell people all the time, you win and lose games in the trenches. And Philadelphia does a great job on the O and D lines. They get to the quarterback. They create havoc. They create pressure even when they don't get sacks. They have a good O line. But Lane Johnson's going to be out. We've been talking about this a lot. When Lane Johnson's in a lineup, Carson Wentz is 10-2 straight up. When Lane Johnson's not in a lineup, Carson Wentz is 2-8 straight up.
Wow.
So, yeah. Don't think. Yeah, it's crazy, Mark. 20 touchdown passes, 10-2. 20 touchdown passes. 5 interceptions, quarterback rating of 99 with Lane Johnson. Without Lane Johnson, 2 wins, 8 losses, 12 interceptions, 6 touchdown passes.
And double the sacks also when he's not in that lineup.
Yeah, unbelievable. Like, yes. That's his guy. Carson just feels, you know, that's his guy. He's not going to be there. But Philadelphia played great football this year. Both teams 4-1. I keep waiting for a flat effort. I got to be honest with you. It was one of my losses last week, Mark. I don't know what the hell I was thinking, but I bid it on the Cardinals. I thought it'd be contrarian come in here. You know, I was like, man, pretty ambitious for Philadelphia to win by 7 here. And they got off to that quick start. I keep waiting for Philadelphia to be flat. I'm calling it here. Plus, home teams have done pretty damn well on these Thursday night games, just blindly.
This is a Thursday marquee matchup. It's got playoff caliber type potential written all over, Gabe, and I agree 100% with you in this game here. I think the momentum rolls with Carolina here. Philadelphia hits a flat spot eventually. It comes in the shortened week with Lane Johnson watching the game with us on the sidelines.
Here's a nice stat courtesy of Mark Lawrence's playbook. You can get it on your mobile device. Go to the Google store. Panthers are 7-1 against the spread the last 8 times after playing back-to-back road games. And don't forget, guys, you're coming off back-to-back wins on the road as well. All right, Mark, I got to tell you a couple of things I never believed. It would be into week six and we'd be talking about the Jets and the Patriots playing for first place. I never thought we'd believe that. I knew one team wasn't going to win a game at this point of the year from New York. Didn't think it would be the guys in blue. But I think this is a reality check, and air traffic control is grounding the jet, all right? Air traffic control is like, hey, yeah, Fireman Ed, you got to land this thing because party's over.
Well, you know, one thing for sure, Gabe, because the Jets are 3-2 tied with the Patriots, unbelievably, it will get New England's focus.
That's what I'm saying. It's a first-place game. And plus, the Pats have been off for 10 days, too, after the Thursday nighter.
On top of it, exactly. The only things we have to overcome, if you like the Patriots, I'm not going there, but if you have to overcome this rotten defense, the Jets' defense nearly 100 yards a game better. Also, look at the Pats this year. They've laid 8 or more points 3 times. They've lost 2 of those games straight up. The only win was they eked out a win against Houston by 3 points. So they haven't been able to handle the big number this year. And the other side of the factor is, look at NFL home dogs of 8 or more points, 40-20 to the spread. That all favors the New York Jets. The problem here being that they're tied with New England in this game, in the coming into the game.
You know, I got to tell you, I always tell people perception and reality are two different things when you're talking about football capping and sports and what the fans think and what reality actually is. And I did not realize the reality was the Flyboys are 11-5-1 against the spread their last 16 division games. That's something that, you know, wow, I didn't realize that. The Jets have been that much of, you know, of an ATM machine as dogs. And what's really crazy, too, the Jets are actually 7-2-1 against the spread the last 10 times against the Patriots. And it's been a little while since the Jets have had a good team as well.
Well, Gabe, those numbers are all largely predicated upon other teams playing down to their level.
Yeah.
That's been the case in the past year.
Yeah, but I'll give them credit, though, Mark, because I'll be honest with you, as a Bills fan, I know the Bills have dominated the Jets, okay? They blew the games 2 games last year because Rex Ryan's a clown. But when I'm looking at this 11-5 against the spread, I'm thinking, man, this means they always cover against the Dolphins, and they beat the Dolphins earlier this year, and they've covered against the Pats. You know, it used to be the Rex Ryan supposedly had their defense, you know, had it figured out. He always lost, but he covered the spread.
That's all that counted. Yeah. Yes.
All right. What about, and I know you don't want to lay the points in that game, but what about this one? This line's climbing right now. Saints seem to be a trendy it team of the week right now. Up to 6, Mark. Seems pretty high to me.
Well, the number is growing. I don't like it. We use it in the Playbook newsletter this week. Mainly a fade against the Detroit Lions. If you take a look at this team, their offense is nowhere near what it used to be. They're not even averaging 300 yards a game. They're number 28 in the league. They're getting outstead at 42 yards a game is Detroit. And you couple all that with Matt Stafford's woes on the road. This guy is really a home-road dichotomy quarterback here, terrible on the road. You've been 57 straight games in a row that the Lions haven't had a 100-yard running back rush for 100 yards in a football game. That puts all the pressure and the onus on Stafford and being on the road. I like the Saints at home with the week of rest.
You know what I find interesting about this as well from the database is from playbook.com is you figure teams would struggle coming back from London. I mean, a perception, oh, they're going to be tired after the London game. But the fact is, teams returning from London are 9-4 straight up, 10-2-1 against the spread. And they're 8-0-1 against the spread, guys, if coming off of rest. You remember the Jags stumbled in New York after the trip, but they had no rest. They actually asked for that, though. They said, we don't want the bye. They asked for that. But, you know, the Saints, and then the Saints played real well in that game in London. Now they've had rest, getting healthier, 8-0-1. Interesting spot. All right, quickly on the way out here, Rams and Jags, not so much that database here, just my eyeball. I think Jared Goff is going to struggle on the East Coast against this defense.
Bad spot for the Rams here. Before London, you know it's a terrible number before London here, and you've got the post-Seattle Seahawks Pete Carroll syndrome in this game. Teams after taking on Pete Carroll, 44-64-6 to the spread. Bad all rolls, these rolls for the Rams here. I think Jacksonville rolls again this week.
44-64-6 teams after playing Pete Carroll, huh?
That's pretty strong. Yes, it is. Yeah. And let me tell you this, Gabe, before I get out of here real quick. Read the Coffee Club tomorrow. I'm going to tell you about, unbelievably, a college football underdog that has number one ranked in red zone defense, taking points from the team that's worst in red zone offense, playing this week in college football here. Read all about it in the coffee club tomorrow.
I look forward to it. And, you know, I got to dive in. I appreciate it, Mark. I got the playbook in the late night hours last night. I got to dive in, but I've been reading the playbook for years. So I know at this time of the year, Mark, the temperature starts to rise, man. The collar feels tight. It's like, man, it's getting hot in here. It's getting hot. Especially for the teams that are undefeated. I'm looking at Wazoo walking right into an ambush on Friday night.
Oh, my goodness. And how about Clemson going to Syracuse? They're 6-0 also. Two 6-0 teams. The collar's getting tighter and tighter on these teams. I tell you what, I don't think both teams get the money. I think you got a better chance of them losing the money than getting the money, fading Wazoo and Clemson this weekend.
Always a pleasure, Mark.
My pleasure, Gabe. Be good. Enjoy the games.
There's Mark Lawrence with us. Always a great time with Mark. Mark was looking great, but you know he wasn't as comfortable as I am. As you can see, we're rocking the Captain Kirk here, the DX Racer. You know, I don't know if you watch the episode of Seinfeld when George Costanza told Buck Showalter that the Yankees should play with cotton because if they feel better, they will play better. Now, you know, for the record, I had always chosen the worst possible available chair here. I liked it for some reason. It was always beaten up, was kind of low and stuff like that. But I got to admit, this is one fine chair. Great job, but guys over at the DX Racer. I want to get one for my home to watch the games in, to do my podcast in as well. And I can't lie, it actually crossed my mind since I live pretty close to the studio of just wheeling this chair down the street tonight after the radio show. But we can't do that now, can we? But this DX Racer, Morenci approved. Game Time Decisions continues.
Many fantasy football players are focusing on their upcoming drafts later this summer. But the smart fantasy owner knows there's another big draft before the one when you pick the players. The first step in building a winner for the 2017 season is to draft the best team of experts for your preseason prep. So make the right selection and pick the squad at rotoexperts.com by purchasing the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. The Roto Experts roster features FSWA Inaugural Hall of Famer and former Fantasy Football Writer of the Year Scott Engel, nationally acclaimed top ranker Jake Seeley, 2015 and 16 FSWA Award winners Bobby McMahon and Brandon Murchison, and many more analysis with impressive stats. They bring you a draft package bursting with all-pro analysis and in-season coverage that'll guide you to title glory. So pick the team to help you build the right team. Make your first important selection of the 2017 season now and get the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package from rotoexperts.com. Be sure to enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for your discount.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. All right, let's bring in, I believe, a New York Times best-selling author. If he isn't, he should be. But the Black Book is one of the Bibles for fantasy players. Joe Pisapia, 17, on Twitter. Of course, you see him right here on the Fantasy Sports Television Network, Radio Network, and co-host of On Target with Jake Seeley and Chris Meany. I hope you get paid extra bucks for working with those two guys. Just kidding. Well, I'm kidding about Meany. I don't know about Jake.
I got you.
Yeah, I know. But I guess no one messes with you because I don't know if people know this. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. But Joe's an expert fencer. He's an expert fencer. And I was watching the network the other day. I don't know anyone's name, man. I don't even know people's name that like I've sat in a room with for like 4 years. So I don't know. The dude that does the cool features on the fantasy. He's always going places and stuff. So I like that guy's bits. So I'm like, hey, look. And I'm like, yeah, there's Pisapia. And I thought the sound was down because I was on the air. And I was like, I thought like sort of he was coming to visit you and you were, you know, you're into fencing and stuff. I didn't realize, no, you are the fencing guy. You are the dude. You are the teacher. And that's pretty wicked stuff.
I am the combat master, Gabe Morenci. That's what I am.
And yeah,
that's I think why people are so nice to me on Twitter. Everyone gets all these trolls and stuff. Most people seem oddly nice to me, and I guess the reputation gets around that I have all this weapons training. So
exactly,
I think it works in my favor.
It really does. No one's gonna mess with it. It's like me. I don't get trolled too much because they know I'll track their IP address and knock on their door. I imagine Corey Parson would be the only one to say screw you, man. I don't care. You're in the fencing. But we were talking earlier. So what is it called? I was like, I don't even know what it's called. So the boys in the booth told me an epee. Is that what it is?
Well, it can be, or Saber, depends on the other ones.
Saber, okay.
But, you know, but we do everything in my classes, everything from quarterstaff to broadsword to sword and shield to rapier and dagger, knife. I teach all of it, and I train actors to go and be on shows and be in films and go on and do the stuff that, you know, you see in the Star Wars and the Game of Thrones and that kind of stuff. So
that's awesome.
It's a good time.
That's awesome. And you're a fantasy stud, too. A great life. Living the dream. You got to, you know, like they say, if you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life, right? That's
100%, man, 100%.
That's the saying. All right, so the season's flying by, man. The NFL season's like life, right? It just goes. It's like, oh, man, another season's already done. I once depressed somebody once in Vegas. We were watching a Super Bowl. I looked over at him. I said, you know, even if we're healthy and stuff, I said, we probably only really see another 25, 30 Super Bowls maybe.
That's a great way to look at life.
Oh, yeah. By Super Bowls. And I have. Ever since then, every Super Bowl, I'm like, oh, man, I'm getting closer to the end here, man.
So basically, you see every Super Bowl as another year closer to the grave.
Yes.
That's how you view it.
Yes.
Okay. And you're counting them in Roman numerals.
Like, I don't know if I'm going to be around for Super Bowl 75, man. Like, I was thinking about that the other day. I'm like, I hope I can make it to Super Bowl 75, but
I think you will be. I think you've got enough rage. I think there's two things that keep you alive. Rage and love. And you've got enough rage that I think everybody loves you. So I think you're all right.
I appreciate that. That's good. Okay, so one guy that's trying to stay alive right now in the NFL is Adrian Peterson, 32 years old. Listen, he hasn't had double-digit fantasy games since 2015. But if there's one spot, one place, one time right now for AP that is put up or shut up, he's in the perfect situation. Like next to the New York Giants, I thought the Giants should have, you know, maybe rolled the dice on it. But what do you make of this? Can he give anything? He doesn't really catch the ball. I mean, Ellington was catching the ball a lot over the last couple of weeks, but AP will get the ball on first and second down. I'm not saying in season longs, but is it worth the flyer on a DK, $3,000? You got to figure he has one game left, right? There's that one game that AP can say, screw you to the world.
Well, I'm not sure if he's got the one game big enough to make him a daily play. Here's the trouble. And it's funny you mentioned the Giants because after week one, I said exactly the same thing. I said, you know, I could see a situation where AP gets released and the next thing you know, he ends up on the Giants. Now, who knew the Giants were going to be quite as bad as they were, right? But here we are a couple weeks later and now it's the Arizona Cardinals. I think in deep season long leagues, you could take a flyer on him because look, there's nobody else there. Ellington's role is very well defined. You already know what he's going to be. My problem with Peterson is if you're going to make a daily investment on him, even as cheap as he is, I just don't know if there's enough floor for him to really make a move. Look, if you can build up a lineup around it, all right.
No, you're right, because even if he gets a touchdown, it's still not enough, really, at $3,800.
Well, that's the problem. I mean, he's got to get a touchdown plus. Now, I'm of the mind, and people disagree with me on Target yesterday, actually, about I think he's going to get 12 to 15 carries in this one because I think Bruce Arians and company want to see what they have here. The problem with Peterson is he hasn't gotten a lot of carries, so it's hard to exactly know where he is. Can he get into a rhythm? Can he find a little bit of that old magic? I don't think he can. But there's no reason not to hand him the ball and find out because you have no other option. And I think the situation where they have right now coming into this game this week, to me, it makes sense from a game flow standpoint to try to get him 12 to 15 carries and see what's there. The line isn't great, but at a certain point, you have to see. And it's not like you're worried about Adrian Peterson 5-6 weeks from now because this is a wide open division. You got to start winning games now.
Yeah, good point. All right, Dad, I said 38. It's actually 3,400. A guy that I'm intrigued by, actually, and I liked him in the preseason. I've always liked this guy. And it's funny because, like, man, you got Cook. You just gave all this money to Murray, and this McKinnon kid's pretty damn good. He's explosive. I like the north-southness of it. You know, I don't know where you stand on Murray, but I'm not a huge Murray guy. He's just sort of there. McKinnon, you know, he brings the big playability. He can catch the ball out of the backfield, 6 catches, 16 carries, 95 yards. I can see McKinnon continue to be a part of this Viking offense as we move forward here.
Yeah, look, in the terms of daily, too, if you want a responsible punt play, McKinnon on the full PPR and DraftKings is way better than Adrian Peterson on any site.
Yeah.
So that's a good spot there. I think he's only 4,100, so he does not have to do much to return 2 to 3 times value at all. Now, Green Bay is better against the pass than the run. So that's something where it might limit him a bit. But look, they've played pretty well with Keenum when he's been in there. All of these receivers or running backs who catch the ball. So I think it's okay to start him in that scenario. there's still a limitation there with Jerick McKinnon. I don't think he's a guy you can count on every week. But I think in terms of daily fantasy, when you're looking at McKinnon, that's a guy that if the matchup's right and the price is right, I feel comfortable rolling him out there. And I think this is a week where you can roll him out there. And because of the price more than the matchup, I think that's the thing about McKinnon in week six against Green Bay.
What do you make of this Thursday night football game? Looking at Cam Newton. Cam Newton's looked great in the last 2 weeks. The Eagles give up the 10th most fantasy points to quarterbacks, 22.4. It's all about Cam Newton's health. And it's funny, when Greg Olsen was lost, I was like, oh, man, that's real tough right now. McCaffrey finally gets into the end zone right now. But, you know, Carolina's defense, playing with more confidence. And Cam Newton just looks like a different quarterback now than he did a month ago as far as health. He just looks stronger, more poised. He's obviously more confident right now. He's $6,700. Going up against Carson Wentz at $6,600 on Thursday. Yet Carolina's defense been pretty good at this year, only giving up 17 fantasy points a game to the quarterbacks. Would you play either one of these two guys from a DFS perspective, and do you like one of the other guys better?
Well, I'm actually playing the Monday-Thursday slate right now, and I can tell you I actually upgraded because my lineup did well on Monday's version, and I upgraded from Wentz to actually Cam Newton because – it's playing well in the tournament side, so why not go for all of it? Why not try that out there? Now, I think in the cash game scenario, if you had made that lineup already, and unfortunately, I think that, you know, you're kind of stuck right now. You're burning either one of those guys will be good enough, but I think the upside clearly lies with Cam Newton. He's got better zip on the ball, and you mentioned Greg Olsen being out and the hit that he was going to take there. Well, Devin Funchess has stepped up and really filled that role, and I think a lot of us have, you know, we wanted that to happen, but what we want to happen in 2017 doesn't always seem to come to fruition. So the fact that Funchess did it one game, I think we're looking around saying, all right, is this for real? Did this actually happen? And then it happened again.
And he's banged up now, too, coming in tomorrow,
right.
So
now we feel comfortable with him. And I think with Cam Newton right now, you're seeing the upside. You're seeing the availability. Philly's secondary is not great. He's at home. So all the reasons would allow me, in my mind, I would go over to the Cam Newton side instead of the Wentz side. And that's not to take anything away from Wentz. He's played very well. But I think in terms of daily fantasy, the fact that he uses his legs and he's got other options to score rushing touchdowns really helps the Cam Newton value.
Joe Pisapia, pick up the Black Book, Amazon.com. You'll be much smarter for it. Always a pleasure, Joe. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, Gabe. You take care, man.
There's Joe Pisapia. We'll just take a quick break. George Kurtz joins me next.
Quarterback to receiver hookups. Running back depth analysis. Rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Game time decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. I'm going to talk fast because I want to get to as much many players and teams and everything else in between as possible. Let's bring in George Kurtz right now. As, of course, George Kurtz, a Roto expert, head over to dailyroto.com. Enter the code FNTSY. Get 10% off your DFS kits. Expert projections, analysis, and lineup optimizers. Take your DFS play to the next level with dailyroto.com. Do it. You'll be much smarter. You're going to win money. You're going to get 10% off. And we have some interesting DFS hockey options on the board this evening. George Kurtz joins us. What's up, George?
How you doing, Gabe? Hockey tonight. Let's go.
Always a pleasure. Yeah, let's talk about hockey. Last night, Las Vegas Golden Knights, or the Vegas Golden Knights, first expansion team ever to win their first three games. How about James Neal, man? The dude scored in all three games. Marc-Andre Fleury. If I'm a cup contender, I'm calling Vegas. I'm like, I want your goalie, man. I need your goalie. But Marc-Andre Fleury started all three games, 1.32 goals against average, 9.63 save percentage. And it's funny because when I was in a season-long league, I had Marc-Andre Fleury there. I saw him there. I was like, man, he's probably going to face a lot of pucks, but he's not going to get me the wins that I need right now. I know, you know, they're not going to continue at this pace, but what a first week of play for the Vegas Golden Knights.
Oh, it's been fantastic, I mean, especially the way they've won the games. James Neal scoring in overtime, scoring on his back. I think James Neal is going to have a better trade value than Fleury. The NHL, throughout the past decade, 15, 20 years, trading a goalie in season, you just don't get the value for him. If you would have, you would have traded him during the offseason. James Neal, however, if he goes back to being a scoring winger, especially for a team that, let's face it, doesn't have all that much around him, I mean, he's playing with Cody Eakin and David Perron, he could have a lot of value in December, January, February, before the trade deadline. Scoring winger are much more valuable than goaltenders.
Yeah, but he's been a fantasy steal so far this year. Nobody saw this coming. And, you know, one thing with Vegas, as you stated, they don't have over-the-top offensive firepower, but they have a lot of grinders. They have a lot of guys that play hard. They've done a nice job of putting that together. They were clearly inspired last night due to the tribute. And, you know, the Montreal Canadiens are known for being the best at the ceremonies. And the Yankees are pretty good, too. But at least in the hockey world, the Canadiens, sort of the staple, the ceremony. And, you know, a lot of hockey guys were saying last night that was Montreal Canadian level professionalism. And, you know, I knew they were going to honor the first responders and victims. But the way that they did it, just so many people on the ice. And, you know, that was a lot of coordination and a lot of work that went into that. And there was a lot of emotion in that building last night. So as somebody that was a Las Vegan, you know, I say bravo. They did a great job last night. I was glad to see some happiness brought to the city.
You know, it's funny. I had heard that they got a great celebration, and I checked in to watch it because I wanted to see it. I couldn't agree with you more. It was fantastic. Good to see. Great job by the Golden Knights.
All right, we got a fun game on the board tonight, the Pens and the Caps. And with so much going on in the sports world, dude, I don't know if people are realizing what Ovi's up to again. But it's almost like, yeah, whatever, since he doesn't win a cup, no one cares anymore. But I can't believe this. First guy to go back-to-back hat tricks since 1917, dude, 100 years.
And one of those was a four-goal game. 7 goals in his first 2 games. He was hot, to put it nicely. Maybe he's got a statement to say to all these people who are saying he's done, or the Capitals are done, whatever it was, because they're not going to be as good a team. Doesn't matter what they are in the playoffs. We don't care in DFS. We only care about now. And once again, it's almost impossible not to start him.
Yeah, I was going to say that. He's $8,000 tonight. And I'll be in full disclosure, I'm doing really well in my bets. I went 4-1 last night. I'm hitting underdogs in the NHL. But I haven't played any DraftKings yet. And I think I'm going to today after our conversation here. And I'm looking, you know, first things thing, I'm more of a guy that looks for value. So I look at Ovi. I'm like, wow, $8,000. And I'm like, well, the guy's got 7 goals. You know, how the hell do you not take him? How do you not own him tonight?
He shoots everything. He's never met a puck he doesn't want to shoot. The whole team tries to get him the puck. I mean, you know, I think Kirk Cousins is trying to get him the puck for the football field.
I like that. You like that? That's great, George. That's a good one. How about this, too, though, from a Penguin perspective? The Capitals have given up 111 shots on goal in 3 games. I even looked at the numbers. I know scoring's a little bit up, but seems like shots on goal are pretty up across the board, too. A lot of shots on goal this year in a lot of games.
You know, I just wrote a column there stating specifically that goals are up. I don't know why that is. The NHL tweaked a couple of rules, but nothing big time that should lead to this.
Meaning saying because the goalie equipment's a little smaller right now.
A little small. I can't see that being the reason.
So what's the number, George, then? So goals are up. What's the way? Is it big or what is it up to now? Where are we at now? Like,
it was big over the weekend. Now it's trailing off a little bit now again. And I think in a couple of weeks it'll go back to the way it always was. But it's usually in the beginning of the season, goaltending is ahead of the offense. Now it's the vice versa right now, and I don't understand why, but like I said, I think it will even out.
A lot of penalties getting called too, right? A lot of power play goals, I think. That's one part of this.
Yeah, they're cutting down the slashes. They don't want you doing that anymore, which I think is a good thing. That stick is a weapon after all.
All right, we got the Leafs and the Devils tonight. Interesting, you know, the Leafs are deep, man. We only got 30 seconds here, but the Leafs have 13 players that have already scored a goal. 19 Leafs already have a point. But a value pick I'm looking at in this game is Jasper Bratt, $3,800, George. First Devils player in history to have 5 points in his first 3 games. And $3,800 in what could be a higher scoring game. I think a little bit of value here with the Bratt.
I agree with you here. I looked at Bratt as well. This is a game where, let's face it, Toronto likes to play high scoring games, fun games to watch. They can score goals, but they'll let them up as well.
All right, George, we've got to get out of here. Always a pleasure, my man.
Take care, Gabe. You have a good night.
Come back with our plays of the day next.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. And it's power-packed with so much more, including fully sortable player projections and a custom cheat sheet generator. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at rotoexperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
All right, it's a great time of the year to be a sports fan. And one of the reasons why we have afternoon baseball. All right, Cubs and Nationals going off the board in a couple hours here, about an hour and a half, whatever it is. Give me the Cubs in this spot. I know Strasburg's pitching right now, but I still think the Cubs are going to find a way to get it done on home field. I think the Yankees can win this game, but I can't risk it. I'm going to take the Yankees in the first five innings. I don't trust Kluber, guys. I wouldn't be shocked if the Bombers beat them. Give me Troy, lay the points, and the Bruins lost to the Avs the other night. Tonight they beat them. May the winners be yours.